If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawbid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Sheikh Tawbid, let's talk about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And I'm going to ask you some general questions, for example, regarding, let's say, pig's meat or boar's meat. We know that pigs and dogs are actually haram, ritually speaking, right?
Sure.
And nobody, because of their ritual impurity and contamination, they are considered as najis in the Islamic laws or in the eyes of Islam. And also, nobody can eat from it. I mean, no Muslim is allowed to or permitted to eat from the meat of those animals. But what about some animals which can be related, for example, to the pigs or dogs family, right? Like the pigs, for example, boars. We have the wild boars, right?
Yeah.
So are the is the meat of such animals, in fact, the boars, for example, haram to eat?
Well, thank you for that nice question.
What?
I would say that there are many species that are haram to be slaughtered and then consumed.
Yes.
By Muslims. It's not only Shia Muslims, but also Sunnis believe that there are certain animals whose meat cannot be consumed under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is boars. Of course, the boar meat is haram.
Right.
And I believe it comes under the category of
pigs.
Pigs, yes. And according to some Muslims, they are pigs.
Yes.
So pigs are essentially impure, and it's not permissible to.
So it doesn't make a difference whether they are domestic
pigs
or wild, basically.
Yes. It does not make any difference.
I see. What about the dogs family, like the wolves, fox, or whatever?
I think the rules regarding these animals are very clear. And in ordinary individuals know what the Islamic law about eating their meat is. Well, animals, these are not halal animals to be eaten.
Mm.
Even if they are slaughtered according to Islamic law, again, it does not make any difference. They
yes.
are still haram to eat and consume.
Yes. Lots of animals are halal meat, basically,
yes.
right? But some of them, I guess, they are reprehensible, makruh, right? Like
right.
the, for
like
example, horse's meat, donkey's
horse,
meat, right?
Yes,
is that correct?
Yeah, that's called mules. A mule, okay?
Mules.
They are haram to, they are not haram to eat, but they are kind of reprehensible to eat. And if they are slaughtered according to Islamic law, it's permissible to eat donkey meat or horse meat or mule meat. It's okay.
What about the cow's meat?
Cow is, of course, halal to eat. Cow, there's no controversy around that.
Uh-huh.
Cow
what about
meat.
Reprehensibility? Is that
it's
reprehensible?
It's not reprehensible. It's completely permissible. And no scholar, as far as I know, has considered it to be reprehensible or disliked. So there's no narration whatsoever
yes.
to speak of the impermissibility or reprehensibility of eating cow meat.
Yes. Putting different tags and names on their meat.
yes.
is no excuse, basically, to categorize it as something outside the limits of that, for example, let's say, a species. For example, if you call something like a kind of meat bacon, it doesn't make it halal because it comes from the pig's meat, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Or the beef, for example, it comes from the cow, so it's halal to eat. So actually, there is no difference, basically.
Yeah, there's no difference. But I would like to, because our listeners are in mostly in the West, okay, and they deal with such meat in the market.
Yes.
So some many Shia Muslims are under the impression of Sunni beliefs and thoughts because they live amongst Sunni people.
Right.
And according to Sunnis, okay, according to some Sunnis, not all Sunnis, if you recite Bismillah,
right,
and blow it on the meat, okay, the meat becomes halal. Like, for example, kosher, there is a type of meat called kosher.
It's which meat. The Jews eat.
Yes, yeah, Jews eat it. And you know, Jews slaughter the animals in the same way as some Muslims, as we Muslims slaughter.
Yes.
Except that they are not Muslims, they are Jews, and they do not recite takbir or God's name, okay? But the method of reciting it, the method of slaughtering the animal is very much the same as Muslims.
Very similar,
yes. No, but there's one point. Some Muslims, okay, recite God's name and then blow it on the meat and thinking that it makes the meat halal. That's
right.
Not the way.
Thank you.
That's not that does not make it halal.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on Iran Radio and IRIB Radio.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
We are back from the break. Actually, this is Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Javad Hossein's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, I'm going to ask you a general question, actually, or jurisprudential one of miscellaneous nature. Is it permissible to perform ablution, ghusl, or even wuzu, you know, if somebody, like a woman, for example, has a nail polish on?
Well, performing the ablution of ghusl is categorically incompatible
right.
with the presence of nail polish because it is a water impervious substance.
Yes.
I mean, it's not water friendly. It does not allow water to pass through. So it prevents water from reaching the nails. Okay. With regard to the wudu, of course, the matter is highly, different. The presence of nail polish on the fingers of the hands or on the nails of the hands is categorically impermissible, as all the fingers are body parts relative to the wudu. I mean the fingers are parts of the wudu, and we must make sure that water reaches the nails, okay? And when it comes to the toes, of course, the toes, however, are not body parts in relation to the wudu. Of course, they are not parts of the wudu. Only if one of the toes is left without nail polish, that would be enough. And you can, for example, a girl, because men do not use or wear nail polish, it's ladies or girls who wear nail polish. So if one of the toes is left without nail polish, and a woman just uses one of her fingers to wipe over that nail, it will be sufficient. And let's also understand and note that there are some kinds of nail products, a nail polish, which are claimed to be water permeable, allowing water to reach
permeate through it.
Yes, to permeate. Of course, that's not the case. The religious authorities have said that it's not true to say that they allow water to pass to, through and reach the nail plates, because the nail polish is still there. So there are substances which prevent water from reaching the nail plates. There's no air under the nail polish to allow water to pass through and reach the nail plates. So the claims made by some companies about their products, considering or claiming their products to be water friendly, is not substantiated.
I see. What about the other parts of the body? For example, artificial parts. Like, you need actually to make wudu or the ablution and let the water actually pass and touch on different parts of your body, for example, right?
Yes.
So what if they are actually, somebody has been injured and they have amputated, for example, some parts of their body, like their arms and legs, and then they, use some artificial parts instead. So how would they go about the wudu and ablution about that part?
Of course, those parts are not parts of his body.
Yes.
So it's not necessary to do anything about them.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to wash a synthetic or an artificial.
What about artificial hair? Like fit?
Artificial hair must be removed. Wig. Okay.
Yes.
They call it wigs. I think wigs must be removed.
Uh-huh.
Whoever wears a wig must remove it before wudu and ghusl, because otherwise it will definitely affect your wudu.
But that rule doesn't apply to the planting of the hair, right?
Yeah, of course. That's another thing. Okay,
yes.
Because when hair is planted,
yes.
So the seeds are taken from some parts of the body,
yes.
And then they are planted.
Yes, and they become part of that individual's body, basically.
Body.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, what is the general law or jurisprudential rule about, the semen, gushed out and staining, for example, the blankets or the mattress where the sexual partners and husbands and wife, in fact, during intimacy and intercourse and how they can, in fact, clean that area or the object which has been contaminated with that.
Look, there are two scenarios. One scenario is that, for example, the rug or the carpet or whatever cannot be taken out to be washed.
Mm.
Okay, it's very much difficult, or it's kind of accompanied with some hardship which is normally unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
And the carpet is sometimes glued to the floor,
yes.
of the house, so
mm-hmm.
it is not possible. In that case, of course, if a part of the carpet becomes impure, then you can pour a glass or some quantity of water.
Mm.
And then the water can be collected using some kind of sponge or a towel or something. And when the water is collected, the towel should be washed, okay,
mm-hmm.
and made clean. And the carpet and that carpet is made pure, clean. And so it's okay to pray on it and perform your ritual prayers.
I see.
On it. But when it comes to the mattress or blanket, of course, mattresses and blankets can be taken out and washed. And if you don't offer any prayers on the mattress or on the blanket, there is nothing, it's not necessary to wash it, because it the dry semen does not transfer to your body or to your hands or yes, and in that case there's no objection to you. But if you're sure, or in some cases you might walk with your wet foot on that carpet, then it's very much likely that you might step on that part of the blanket which is impure, and in the state of wetness the najasa will transfer to your leg, to your foot, and in that
and then case, it would have spread elsewhere because of your walking around.
As a measure of precaution, it is it's necessary to wash, and you should wash it to make sure that in the future maybe you see the najasa will not move around and will not transfer to your foot. In and of itself, it's not necessary to wash it. If you are sure that you will not walk on it, you'll not, with a wet foot, and you will not pray on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh. And thank you, my dear audience, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. From me and the rest of the crew, bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو